Well, I hope that none of you is stressed out or anxious or depressed. I would like to give you 10 biblical remedies for dealing with stress, anxiety, and depression. And I'll try to do it very quickly. And the first one, if we're going to fight against depression, anxiety, stress, the first one is to trust God. We need to trust God. We need to believe in our Savior and our Lord and our Father. We need to get a heart-penetrating, practical understanding of especially the sovereignty of God. Nothing happens outside the scope of God's wise and absolute control of all His creatures and all their actions. Daniel 4:35, all the inhabitants of the world are reputed as nothing, and He does according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the world, and no one can restrain His hand. No one can say to Him, "What are you doing?" Psalm 115:3, but our God is in heaven, and He does whatever He pleases. Ephesians 1:11, God works all things according to the counsel of His own will. And God's people should say, "I'm so thankful. I am so thankful that this world doesn't run according to my will. I'm really thankful it doesn't run according to your will. But I'm very thankful, very, very thankful that God is in control of all things that happen." Trusting God means that we gladly embrace His sovereignty over all things in our lives. And not just embrace it, not just accept it, but embrace it. Gladly embrace everything that He brings, including the disturbances, the accidents, the pressures and the problems. God is sovereign over my past. He's sovereign over my present. He's sovereign over my future circumstances. I want you to look at 2 Samuel chapter 16. This is a very interesting occasion in the life of David. 2 Samuel chapter 16. David is going through a very big valley, emotional, spiritual valley. His son Absalom has decided to rebel against him, and David is fleeing Jerusalem. And in verse 5 of 2 Samuel chapter 16, now when King David came to Bahurim, there was a man from the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, and the son of Gera, coming from there, and he came out cursing continuously as he came. And he threw stones at David and all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. Also Shimei said thus when he cursed, come out, you bloodthirsty man, you rogue. The Lord has brought upon you all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose place you've reigned, and the Lord has delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom, your son. So now you are caught in your own evil because you are a bloodthirsty man. And then Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, said to the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Please, let me go over and take off his head. If I were David, I just go ahead. But the king said, what have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord has said to him, curse David. Who then shall say, why have you done so? And David said to Abishai and all his servants, see how my son who came from my own body seeks my life? How much more now may this Benjamite? Let him alone and let him curse, for so the Lord has ordered him. It may be that the Lord will look on my affliction and that the Lord will repay me with good for his cursing this day. And as David and his men went along the road, Shimei went along the hillside opposite him and cursed him as he went and threw stones at him and kicked up dust. And now the king and all the people who were with him became weary, so they refreshed themselves there. When we read the scriptures, I hope you do this. Read the scriptures and visualize them. Personalize them. Say, that's me. And you picture this man up on this hill and he's throwing these stones and clumps of dirt at you and he's cursing you. And you're the king. Would you say, let him alone, the Lord has bid him to do this? Now, how did he know that? Because he believed in the sovereignty of God. Absalom had rebelled against him, wanted to take over his kingdom. And David believed in the sovereignty of God. It's how we respond to that sovereignty that's so meaningful, and whether or not we really, really believe that God is in control of every circumstance and situation. Listen to Spurgeon. Spurgeon said, "It would be a very sharp and trying experience to me to think that I have an affliction which God never sent me, that the bitter cup was never filled by his hand, that my trials were never measured out by him, nor sent to me by his arrangement of their weight and quantity. Everything that comes into our lives is brought to us by the kind and generous and compassionate and loving God whom we believe in and whom we love. I am so glad he's in control of everything because his plans are far better than my plans." And even this weekend, my plans were to just sit here, listen to someone else preach. Thriving in Christ, can you beat that? I was excited about that. And then I get the phone call. God's plans are better than our plans. Proverbs 16:9, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Jeremiah 10:23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. Psalm 33:8-11, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the people of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart to all generations. Second thing regarding trusting in God is we need to leave room for God's throne in our lives. Sometimes we have our own, all the time, we have our ways. We think that we know what's best. There are many things that are beyond our control. Many things that are outside of our control and therefore outside of our responsibility. Need to get a hold of that. If we can't control it, guess what? We don't have responsibility for it. We just have to be faithful to respond in the right way. 1 Peter chapter 5, 6 and 7. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Psalm 55:22. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. One of the ways that we humble ourselves before God is by casting all of our cares and all of our problems and all of our difficulties and all of our fears upon our God, keeping our troubles to ourselves. It's not humility. It's spiritual pride. Stress and worry and depression is a weight or a burden that we need to throw off upon our caring God. He does care for you. So the first biblical remedy is trusting in God. The second one is to pray, pray, and keep praying. We need to pray. Luke 18:1, Jesus spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. And the sense there is, if you don't pray, guess what happens? You lose heart. You get discouraged. You get stressed out. You become anxious. You might even fall into depression. And what is depression? It's that horrible pit. Don't want to go there. Part of our daily schedule should be, I'm going to set apart time, sometime in this day, every day, to talk to my God, to talk to my Savior. Do you do that? Do you set apart a special time to talk to the Lord every single day? It's important. And I don't mean on the way to work, if you drive to work, or if you're taking the kids to soccer practice, or, you know, and you're praying on the way. Good. I'm glad that you pray on the way, but don't be a McDonald prayer. You know what that is? People go to McDonald's and get fast food, and there's a big line at the McDonald's in Stanton. Every single morning, lots of people going there and getting their fast food. Don't do your fast prayers. Take time out. Make a schedule. Seek the face of God. If you love Him, you want to spend time with Him. Seek the face of the Lord. Luke 5:16, this is amazing to me. And if anyone could skip seeking the face of the Heavenly Father, it would be Jesus, but He didn't. Jesus Himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. And sometimes He prayed all night long. Why? Because the Father was very precious. He loved the Father, and He wanted to interact with the Father. If the Lord is precious to us, we need to interact with Him. We need to pour out our hearts to Him. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, and when you pray, didn't say you must pray, but when you pray, assuming that you're going to pray, when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you've shut your door, pray to your Father in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret shall reward you openly. And it's not a suggestion, that's a command. We need to pray. We need to seek His face. Stress and worry and depression keep our hearts all bottled up. But prayer opens up our hearts to God. And we should learn how to pray as if God needed to know all the little details of our lives. He doesn't need to know that, but we need to pour out our hearts in that way. You remember that hymn sometimes we sing, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what pain we often bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, the Apostle Paul writes, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And then what happens? "And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and your minds through Christ Jesus." Everything, full disclosure of ourselves, with prayer, that is general seeking of God's faith, with supplications, that is specific requests. How are we to pray? With thanksgiving. "And the peace of God will guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." The third thing we need to do: talk to God. Trust in God. Thirdly, I want to encourage you to talk to yourself. Okay? Talk to yourself. Psalm 42:5, The psalmist does that. He says, Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. And then earlier I read from the 103rd Psalm, bless the Lord, O my soul. He's talking to himself. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Do you talk to yourself? My wife does. I do too. If you don't talk to yourself about yourself and about God, your mind or the devil through your mind will talk to you about your fears and your doubts and your troubles and your circumstances, and you'll keep listening to the wrong voices. Martin Lloyd-Jones says this in his exposition of Ephesians. He says, the real secret of Christian living is to discover the art of talking to yourself. We must talk to ourselves, we must preach to ourselves, and we must take truth and apply it to ourselves and keep on doing so. Biblical remedies for dealing with anxiety, stress, and depression. Trust God, pray about everything, talk to yourself. Fourthly, deny yourself and refocus. And as we've seen, a lot of the issues of depression have to do with, and anxiety too, have to do with focusing on ourselves. Taking our big world, the big world, and coming down to here and just focusing on ourselves and looking at the mirror of ourselves. We need to stop feeling sorry for ourselves. It's so easy to do. We feel sorry for ourselves. Stop focusing on yourself. Stop focusing on your feelings. Stop focusing on your little world. It's not about you. It's not about me. Luke chapter 9, the Christian life really can be summarized in this. Jesus said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Self-denial. Say no to yourself. I'm not going to look at you. I'm not going to care about you, self. It's not about you, self. It's about the Lord Jesus. We need to deny ourselves and refocus on the Lord Jesus. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Think differently about yourself. Think differently about your life. Think differently about other people. Think more often about the Lord. Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, and whatever things are good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate. Think seriously about these things. But the tendency when we're focused on ourselves is, oh, I feel so miserable. I can't do anything right. There's a time a couple years ago on a Monday morning. Preachers always have a hard time on Mondays. Monday morning, I was convinced after 5 minutes of thinking about myself that I had failed in every area of my life. And I broke them all down too. I failed as a son. I was a failure as a husband. I was a failure as a father. A failure as a neighbor to my neighbors. And I was a failure as a pastor. I was a failure in every part of my life. And then the Lord reminded me of things that I preached the day before. About it. It's not about me. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about our Savior, the Lord Jesus. And we're accepted in the Beloved. And yeah, we failed. And we're so incompetent at so many things. But he never fails. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Our faith in who? Not in ourselves, but in the Lord Jesus. Stop looking at yourself. Look away from yourself and look to the Lord Jesus Christ, because there's forgiveness in Christ. There's mercy in Christ. There's strength in Christ. There's purpose. There's usefulness. There's competency. There's victory in Christ. There's happiness. All of it's in Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that reminds me, the Christian life is lived out in the tension between John 15:5 and Philippians 4:13. John 15:5, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And everybody should, in your heart, you'd be saying, amen. I can't do anything. I can't do anything but fail and sin. The Christian life is lived out in the tension of John 15:5, without Jesus, I can do nothing. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. On the one hand, I can't do anything by myself. On the other hand, I can do everything through Jesus Christ. And that's how we live. If you hang on to the one all by itself, you'll be miserable and get depressed. The truth is, there's that balance. Really, really, I can do nothing without Christ but sin and fail. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The fifth way that we fight against stress, anxiety, and depression is to fight our fears and do what we're supposed to do. Fight our fears and do what we know the Lord wants us to do. Stressed out people are often incapacitated by worry and anxiety and selfish, self-centered thoughts and fatalistic feelings of fear and despair. But they don't do, because they don't do what they're supposed to do. And so here's this little boy, maybe 16 or 17 years old. And there's a great army of men. And down in the valley, there's this great big 9-foot-6-inch giant called Goliath. And he's challenging the armies of Israel. And this little young teenage whippersnapper of a boy comes down and says, who does that guy think he is? And nobody wants to fight Goliath. David said, I'll do it. And there's a reason for why he wanted to do that. Because his faith, his understanding of God, was a whole lot bigger than a 9-foot-6-inch giant. Let me at him. And it's so amazing. You read from 1 Samuel chapter 17. David didn't just stand there. He ran to him with his slingshot, and all he needed is one stone. Fight our fears. We need to fight our fears and do what we know the Lord wants us to do. It's so easy to be afraid and then be paralyzed in our fears and our anxieties. Sixthly, learn to be content. Hebrews 13:5. Let your conduct be without covetousness and be content with the things that you have. You know, contentment is a really, really big part of the Christian life. As we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, part of that grace and the knowledge of the Lord is contentment. Paul could say in Philippians 4:11, I have learned that in whatever state I am therewith to be content. We need to learn by experience to step back away from all our circumstances and situations and learn to rely on the sufficiency of the Lord Jesus, that everything that I have, He meant for me to have and He's given to me, and I can be content with the things that I do have. The seventh way we combat anxiety, stress, and depression is by being thankful. Thankfulness. Get in the habit of thanking God for everything. You know, the scripture says to do that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 15. In everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. We heard about physical problems. I really do appreciate the testimonies, Trish and Susan, this morning. Very special. But we all have testimonies very similar to those. Physical problems, so-called accidents, all these. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you and for me. Grateful people are people who are impressed with God and with His goodness. And therefore they are grateful. They're grateful. They're very thankful. And they're not depressed because they're so impressed with God and His goodness and grace to them. Matthew Henry was once robbed when he was walking down the street one night. And later that night he went to his diary and wrote in his diary these words. After being robbed, he said, "I'm thankful that during these years of my life, I've never been robbed until now. And also, even though they took my money, they didn't take my life. I'm thankful that although they took all that I had, it wasn't much." And he said, "Finally, I'm grateful that it was I who was robbed and not I who was the robber." Perhaps some of you remember that hymn, "When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be disheartened. God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end." The eighth thing we can do to combat stress, anxiety, and depression is to get our priorities right and stick to them. Get our priorities right and stick to them. Matthew 6, 25 through 33, and the context there is Jesus says, "Do not worry, do not worry, do not worry." And then he says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things that you worry about will be added to you." You and I need to resist the pagan-like anxieties to get all kinds of the things of this world and this life, and strive to live according to the priorities that God has given us in His Word. Anxious and depressed people, usually self-focused people, and the answer to being self-focused is to give ourselves to God. Give ourselves to serve Christ and to others. That's exactly what Paul meant when he said in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, he said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, by His great salvation in Christ, that all the moral charges have been dropped. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." Get your priorities right. Some of you may have the excuse, "I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to read the Bible. I don't have time to go to prayer meeting. I don't have time. I don't have time." You have the same amount of time as Jesus had, and He had time to do all those things. We all have 24 hours in a day, 7 days a week. We all have the time. And just what are our priorities? What What do we think is really important? The ninth thing that we can do and we need to do, especially in dealing with distress and anxiety and depression, is to take care of our bodies. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. We were already there in the last session. We need to make sure that there are no physical health or other kinds of bodily issues causing the anxiety or causing the depression. And all we need to do is normal things like proper diet, exercise, and sleep. All these things are very important. God gave them to us. Proper diet, exercise, and sleep. Notice, you remember we talked about Elijah and his depression. And we read the first four verses. And remember, he's sitting under the broom tree in verse 4. And he prays to the Lord. He says, "It's enough, Lord. Now take my life. I'm no better than my father's." In other words, he felt so guilty that he had run away. And now he didn't know what to do. He's still afraid. And he was depressed. But notice verse 5. "Then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, 'Arise and eat.' And then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time, touched him and said, 'Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you.' So he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as the Horeb, the mountain of God." Elijah, if we read the previous chapter, Elijah was physically and emotionally drained by the whole experience of what went on at Mount Carmel. And then after that day-long competition with the prophets of Baal, and then he ran down the mountain ahead of Ahab's chariot, and he ran to Jezreel, and then fleeing for his life from Jezebel. And you know what? When our bodies get tired, we can't think, we can't respond to stress in an appropriate way, we can't deal with the pressures. We might normally be able to do it, but we're worn out with our bodies. We need to get some rest. We need to get some food. That's exactly what Elijah did, and that's what the angel helped him to do so that he can get on with his life to do what God had called him to do as a prophet. Spurgeon says, "The condition of your body must be attended to." And he's writing in his lectures to his students, writing to ministerial candidates. And he says, "The condition of your body must be attended to a little more. Common sense would be a great gain to some who are ultra spiritual and attribute all their moods of feeling to some supernatural cause, when the real reason lies far nearer to hand. Has it not often happened that dyspepsia, which is gastroreflux disease, has been mistaken for backsliding, and bad indigestion has been set down as a hard heart?" Take time away from your regular activities and duties and responsibilities and your routine to refresh your body and to refresh your soul. Some of you homeschooling mothers, that's a hard job. I know that from personal experience. Maureen used to come into my study at least once a week, throw herself down on the carpet, and say, "I quit." And the first time I was really concerned, I said, "Sweetheart, what's wrong?" And she said, "I don't know, but I quit." I said, "You can't quit." And then she'd come in the next day and do the same thing. And I realized, well, after a while, I didn't even look at her. She was just laying there. But we had a rule in our house. 1 week a year, and I know that's not a big deal, but 1 week a year, she went to see her mom and her sisters all by herself. She didn't have to do any homeschooling. She didn't have to take care of any children. She didn't have to do anything but just be pampered because she's the baby in the family and they would take care of her. You need to have a break from your routine. Refresh your body and your soul. Mark 6:31, Jesus said to his disciples, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves." Yeah, I know what happened next. You know, all those multitudes of people came back. Some of you might be asking the question to yourself, what about taking drugs for anxiety or depression? Well, if the anxiety or the depression is physically generated, it's caused by some kind of a chemical or hormonal imbalance, then medication would seem appropriate. I know pastors that take medication. However, in many cases, anxiety and depression are caused by some other problem, sometimes a sin problem. And when this is the case, taking medication may just cover up the symptoms, but doesn't fix the problem. We need to go to the Lord with our, whatever the issue is, go to the Lord with it. He is very gracious, full of mercy. He's very compassionate. And then the 10th counsel that I would give regarding stress, anxiety, and depression is to laugh. Laughter is a great way to deal with stress and fight against anxiety and depression. Especially when we learn to laugh at ourselves. Proverbs 15:13, "A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but at sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken." Proverbs 17:22, "A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones." Some people are so, "Oh, it shouldn't be that way." Jesus said, "In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." Laugh. Be happy. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. "Does not even nature itself teach you?" said Paul. "Scientific studies have shown that laughter is good." Someone has written, "Laughter activates the chemistry of the will to live and increases our capacity to fight disease. Laughing relaxes the body and reduces problems associated with high blood pressure and strokes and arthritis and ulcers. Some research suggests that laughter may also reduce the risk of heart disease. Historically, research has shown that distressing emotions, depression, anger, anxiety, and stress are all related to heart disease. A study done at the University of Maryland Medical Center suggests that a good sense of humor and the ability to laugh at stressful situations helps mitigate the damaging physical effects of distressing emotions. Some other specifics about laughter. Laughter's effect on the body include: humor enhances our ability to connect with others. Humor helps us to replace distressing emotions with pleasurable feelings. You cannot feel angry, depressed, and anxious, and guilty, or resentful, and experience humor at the same time. Lacking humor will cause one's thoughts processes to stagnate, leading to increased distress. Humor increases energy, and with increased energy, we may perform activities that we might otherwise avoid. So be happy in the Lord. Amen. I have one question. Let me try to answer it quickly. I already did answer it. What do you do when everything is going well, but you fear that suffering is inevitable? What do you do? Well, that text that I quoted a number of times, we looked at John 16:33. And my counsel would be, obey God. Obey God. Here's what God said, and I just quoted it. John 16:30, these things I've spoken to you, that in me, Jesus said, in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. So if you're not suffering now, as Trisha said, maybe tomorrow. But you're going to have troubles. There's going to be troubles. But God uses the troubles to make us more like Jesus. You want to be like Jesus? He uses two things. He uses truth and he uses troubles. You said, I sure hope he uses the truth. All right, get in his word. But he's going to use troubles too. In this world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So I would just say, obey God. Yes, you're going to have troubles. Be of good cheer. God has a purpose. His ways are better than your ways. The second question, how do you encourage an extended family member who is depressed and no one is really dealing with it? She is polite, but really not happy. And my word of counsel of two things. First thing, go to Christ. Is this person a Christian? Are they a Christian? If they're a Christian, they're always depressed. That's a problem. A big problem. Patterns of sin, no matter what kind of pattern, they're emotional sins, physical sins. Patterns of sin are a real indicator that they need the Lord Jesus. Patterns, over, again and again and again, they're always depressed, they're always discouraged, they're always anxious, they're always having bad, sinful fantasies and thoughts. Always, it's a pattern. Then we need to go to the Lord and ask the Lord to deliver us and save us from our sins. If it's not a pattern, we still say, Lord, deliver me. Every morning I say, Lord, deliver me from the sinful man that I am. Patterns of sin are bad. 1 John 3:6. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. And those verbs for sin are present tense verbs. So it's about practicing sin. We could read this, whoever abides in him does not practice sin. Whoever practices sin has neither seen him or known him. And the same thing in 1 John 3:9. Whoever has been born of God does not practice sin. So they need to go to Christ. But also, I would recommend that they go see a doctor. Because there may be some hormonal imbalance, some kind of chemical issue, and they need to see a doctor. Amen. Any other questions before we close? You know what? I tell our church, I don't have all the answers, but I know who has the answers. I know where to find the answers, and they're in the scriptures. May the Lord encourage you. Thank you so much for coming to this retreat. I hope it's been a retreat for you. And usually when we hear these kinds of things, guess what happens? Stress. Stress. Now, how are you going to respond to the stress? Don't be anxious. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's pray.